Let's look at what happens now that the unemployment rate is at its lowest level in very close to a decade. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. We learned from the government today that 211,000 more people were added to payrolls last month. That is higher than forecast, and it's 60% higher than the weak March numbers. Some of this is the weather improving into April. A good person to talk to on a day like this is Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York.
You know, I don't think this month it's the job gain that we ought to be focused on so much as the unemployment rate.
4.4%. I was just doing the math here. It hasn't been this low in just about a decade. May of 2007 was the last time it was down here.
That's right. It bounced off 4.4% several times in 06 and 07. It never got lower. And that is going to be ringing alarm bells at the Federal Reserve. They've been telling us all year that they're going to pick up the pace of tightening, but they're not, as they say, behind the curve. This is the kind of thing that's going to convince them that, well, maybe they are behind the curve. The labor market is tight. It's going to lead to wage growth. It's going to lead to inflation. And some of them, like John Williams, the San Francisco Fed president, who is a particular acolyte of what we call the Phillips curve, the wage unemployment trade-off, he's going to be having fits when he sees this number.
Yeah, but if we could speak to Mr. Williams, wouldn't we point out that wage growth in this report this morning was lackluster? It was up 0.3. If you look at it over a year, it's barely at inflation.
Yeah, it's 2.5%. It was 2.7 a few months ago. Wages are not rising. And I think, if I could speak to Mr. Williams, I'd suggest taking a deep breath and thinking back to the mid-1990s when we were also bumping up against the unemployment speed limit. Alan Greenspan had aggressively tightened, and then he decided to give growth a chance. They lowered the funds rate. The economy reaccelerated. Unemployment stabilized. We got five more years of essentially inflation-free growth.
Economist Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you. As we've been hearing, the House of Representatives has narrowly pushed through a plan that would radically alter the health care landscape. The Congressional Budget Office, which earlier this spring projected that changes will result in 24 million Americans losing insurance, is expected with a new score next week on this plan. Now, the plan does face an uncertain fate in the U.S. Senate, but what are some changes the House version would bring about? Here's Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein from our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia.
First, the requirement to buy insurance is gone. Then you've potentially got a major disruption for people with pre-existing conditions. Under Obamacare, insurers couldn't charge sick people more than healthy ones. States have the option to take that protection away. If they do, then people with medical problems could be charged more if they have any lapse in coverage. Another big change, subsidies. Right now, money to help people buy insurance is based on income. Under the Republican plan, it would be based on age. Overall, more people will get something, but what they'll get will be skimpier. Insurers could also charge older Americans more than they do today. Then there's Medicaid. With states losing nearly $900 billion in federal funding over the next decade, likely meaning fewer people on the program getting fewer services.
Dan, thank you. Famed investor Warren Buffett is drawing attention today after he dramatically pared down his stake in IBM. He held about 80 million shares, but has now sold off about a third of those. The stock was down almost 3% in early trading today. For years now, movie theaters have been trying to lure a grown-up audience, meals, Barca lounger-style chairs, sometimes cocktails. While box office revenues have climbed the past few years, ticket sales have been stagnant. Now, some theaters have turned their attention to the younger set. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
Kids scramble up climbing structures, tumble down a slide. It's break time in the middle of the movie Boss Baby at a Sinopolis theater in Southern California. A 15-minute intermission that helps kids sit still during the rest of the movie. Adrian Maharis Elizondo is CEO of Sinopolis USA. He says part of what they're trying to do with kids is what theaters have been aiming for with adults. Get them out of the house.
In the U.S., with so many entertainment options, with Netflix, so many things that you can do, and people seem to have less time every time.
Kids between the ages of 2 and 17 make up nearly a quarter of the movie-going audience, according to data from the Motion Picture Association of America. Younger kids also go to movies with their families.
And kids have a big influence on their parents, which cinema they want to go to.
That's Tim Barr, CEO of Furco Seating. He was showing off his theater chairs at a recent CinemaCon convention, including smaller rainbow-colored kids' seats, costing about $200 each.
Cinemas are all showing the same movies. They have the same popcorn. They have the same sound system. So differentiating themselves is always a problem.
Theaters are trying other tricks, too. AMC is reworking its menu, adding kid-friendly chicken tenders and giant pretzels. And theaters like the TCL Chinese Theaters in Hollywood are building esports auditoriums, a place to play and watch people play video games.
Well, I think it's another great opportunity to get moviegoers into the audience.
Olwen Hite Kushner is president of the TCL Chinese Theaters. She was also at CinemaCon.
Young people that might be coming to the theater to experience a video game tournament will also become potential customers for movies as well.
It can all seem a bit gimmicky, but if brightly colored seats, video game hookups, and kiddie gyms work, if they sell tickets, that's what matters to theaters. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And the Justice Department reportedly has opened an investigation into Uber's manipulation of its app to thwart government inspectors. This according to multiple published reports today. Uber claims its maps showing fake Uber car locations sent to certain customers are legal, but the ride service stopped using this grayball software less than a week after the controversy first hit the headlines. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.